Hey, we just have a few minutes left. And I wanted to talk to you about Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That verse in Habakkuk 2:4, some believe is the most important verse in the entire Old Testament. Big deal. In fact, it's quoted three times in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11, and then the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 38 quotes that same verse. What the verse in part speaks about is the fact that we're justified by God, not by doing the works of the law like in the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, but we're justified before God. We're raised to be brought in a place where we can rest before him and live with him by faith. So the same way we're saved in the New Testament is the same way they got saved in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if you were an Old Testament believer, you looked to the future. You knew that you couldn't be good enough to earn God's favor, and so you asked God to send a Messiah who would come and deliver you from your sins. For us, he's already come. We know we can't, just like they couldn't, earn favor with God. And so we look in the past and we say, God, thank you for sending the Messiah, for sending your son to take our place so that we could have deliverance for all our sins. Now, Habakkuk is going to quote this verse. He's going to, he's actually going to be the first one that's going to cite it. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a response to a question that he had with God. Now, Habakkuk, his name means to embrace, to cling to something. Habakkuk lived about 625, 620, and right around that time period, B.C., so this was right close to the end of Judah before they were going to be exiled by the Babylonians. And so he was concerned about a lot of things, Habakkuk was. He was concerned about their enemies in the north, particularly the Assyrians. Remember, the Assyrians were really rough people. That's why Jonah didn't want to go and preach to the Ninevites, because they were so mean and ugly and hateful and did terrible things to the Israelites. Well, they were still around during the time of Habakkuk. However, they weren't near as powerful as they were at the time that Jonah went and preached to them. They had lost some of their power because their king had died. And just prior to this time, Josiah was the king of Judah, and he was a good king. He brought reform to Judah. But he had died, he had made a bad decision in his life, and so he had died, it's another story. And the people of God, they weren't following God like they used to, like they were during the time of Josiah. Many of them had fallen away from following the Lord. Well, this bothered Habakkuk. He was grieved over this. And he also was really upset about the situation, the geopolitical situation around Israel. What's going to happen to his nation? What's going to happen to his people? And so he asked God why God was allowing all this stuff to go on, this bad stuff, and when was he going to do something about it? And boy, the answer he got was not something he expected. I guess if I had a title today for him, it would be shock therapy. Man, God, he gave him an answer that he just wasn't expecting. So we'll get to that in a moment. But as I think about Habakkuk and his situation internally and externally, you know, not just our country, not just what's going on in our country, but even the influence of the world in our country and the things that are going on that influence us as well. Man, it's high. I'm a news junkie, you know. So I watch the news every day. I need to just turn it off, man. It's bad news, and it seems to get worse every day. People around the world, they have different views about the United States of America. You know, many of you know, but some of you don't know, that Daniel Akbari has been living about three nights a week with us for this past spring. He's gone back home for the summer, and for good until the fall, and he'll finish law school at St. Mary's in the fall. We just allowed him a place to stay so he'd be close to school, even though his family's in College Station. Daniel's from Iran. So we're asking him questions all the time about, you know, what's it life like over there? And Daniel's just like, it's terrible. And anyway, he told us that his brother called him not long ago, and he hadn't heard from his brother in about 8-9 years. And his brother said, he called him brother, and he said, brother, he said, where do you live in the United States of America? Just called him out of the blue. And he said, well, I live in Texas. He said, well, what's it like there? He said, oh, green grass, as far as you can see, and the people are so nice. He said, Texas is wonderful. His brother said, you're a liar. He said, I know what Texas is like. There's no green grass in Texas. And he said, everyone there rides horses and they shoot people. And then he hung up the phone, clicked right there. Hadn't heard from him since. And he doesn't have much, you know, of a relationship with his, they're Muslim still. You know, of course, Daniel got saved. He's an active Christian, so there's not a whole lot of dialogue there. But I had to ask him, you know, Daniel, where did he get this idea that this is Texas? He said, Mike, he said, one of the state-sponsored movies in Iran is, are John Wayne movies. And so when the John Wayne movies are out there in the West, there's no green grass out there. And I said, but, I said, in the shooting? He said, yeah, you know, riding horses, shooting people. And I said, but Daniel, it's a capital offense to drink alcohol in Iran. What do they do when John Wayne goes in the saloon and asks for, you know, a shot of whiskey? He said, oh, Mike. He said, what they do, you know, everything is in the lines underneath in Farsi, you know, because they can't understand English. And so in Farsi, when John Wayne goes in the saloon, he says, I'll have a drink. In Farsi, it says, I'll have some more juice. But it made me think about, that whole story made me think about how people have these ideas from around the world about what the United States is really, what it's like, and they don't really know what it's really like. And they think they know what it's like many times because of the liberty and the freedom that we have here in the United States. In fact, that's what Daniel thought. He said, there are many Iranians who think that the United States of America is utopia. It must be just like heaven. It must be, he even used this word, perfect. Because y'all have a republic, you have freedom, and you have liberty. It must be wonderful. And of course, it didn't take long to burst Daniel's bubble. And I think about our country. You know, I grew up like many of you, and we'd say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning in school. In fact, when I went to school, we even had a time where we could pray. When I was a little kid. Boy, things have changed since then. I hear one of the candidates running for the president of the United States, and she is so excited and celebrating the LGBT movement. Did I get all those letters right? I'm like, really? I just saw, I guess, this past week, the new policy that Target has now. Someone just told me during Sunday school that the president has canceled the National Day of Prayer because it might be offensive. I was heartbroken when the Supreme Court, with 5 appointed judges, decided that sodomy is now a legal right in marriage. Well, we're not trying to say that we hate people. We love people. We love every person in the LGBT movement. We love every single one of those people, but we hate their sin. And we hate our own sin. You know, when the Lord confronted people, he confronted their sin, but he loved them at the same time. In fact, that's what the cross is all about. It's about the judgment of sin and the love for every person that's ever walked on this world as a sinner. Well, Habakkuk, he is looking around and he is heartbroken. And he is just sick to his stomach. God, how long are you going to let all this go on? When are you going to do something about it? And the answer that God gives to Habakkuk is just shocking. He tells him that he's going to send their enemies to carry them off into exile for 70 years with hooks in their noses. He was not ready for that answer. I mean, he thought surely God was going to come and deliver them in another way, not at the mercy and the cruelty of his enemies, the Babylonians, which occurred in 587. This is right around 610, 612. He didn't understand. He will walk through this book some, and he will not be able to fill in the blanks. And you see, that's some of my dilemma. I see all these things going on, and I go, God, this is not good. This is going to hurt not only my peers, but it's really going to hurt the next generation. Now, take, for instance, all these little kids up here. Are you going to go shop at Target? Are you going to let your little girl go in there? And, you know, and what if that's the way it is now, what do you think it's going to be like in 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 20 years from now? If things keep progressing and going the way they're going, it's going to be a lot. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse in the culture. And we already hear that. If this goes out on the internet, which he will, this message, there'll be people that listen to this and go, man, that guy is one bigot. That guy, he is not tolerant at all. And they don't understand that we're not supposed to be tolerant of sin, of what God calls sin. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. And so I don't understand all that God is doing and why he allows a lot of things to happen the way he does, like Habakkuk. I'm at a loss, but I know this, that God's ways are higher than our ways. And I know that God knows exactly what he's doing. He has a perfect plan and he has perfect timing. What he's going to do with our country, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, because we just have a few minutes remaining. When I look at all these little boys and girls up here, I'm not about to lay down and play dead. I'm going to pray. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time for Christians to lay down and say nothing and be silent. This is the time to be active in your prayers and asking God for deliverance. If not for yourself, then for them. Habakkuk, he thought about all this, and here's the way he ended up. In chapter 3, verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines. Though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and though there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, it may get bad, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then he's going to quote David. He's going to use David for some encouragement in his own life. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. So here's my plan. As I'm praying every day, I'm going to say, Lord, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what's all going to go on, but I know this. I today am going to choose to trust you. I'm going to trust you by faith. And things might not always work out the way I want them to, but nevertheless, I'm going to choose to trust in you. And you know, sometimes on Saturdays, I don't really have my prayer time like I do the rest of the week. It's like I think I'm on vacation or something. It's like I got a day off or something. I never should have a day off from praying. And I didn't pray that yesterday morning. Well, we're going to Hawaii this afternoon. And so Allison thought that I'm at that age now where I need that little, you know, that little thing where you have S for Sunday and Monday and because you can't remember all the, you know, pills you're supposed to. And not only did she buy me the Sunday through Saturday thing to put all the pills in, she bought me one for the morning and one for the evening. That's sad, brother. That's sad. That is not in lifting me up. So, because I want to tell you, this living by faith, it starts with little things. Okay. We're talking about a big thing with our country and our kids, but it starts with little things on a daily basis. So I didn't really pray this yesterday morning. So I'm putting all my pills in there reluctantly, and I get them all in there in the blue case. So then I start. I never done this before. So I shut, but tried to shut the little S for the Sunday dent, and the thing just went poof, and all the pills went all over the floor. The pest control man had just sprayed, okay? I picked them all up, put them back on the counter. Allison comes in there, and she knows something's up. She said, what's wrong? I said, nothing. Well, here's what I did, okay? So here's what I want to say. I chose, through that experience, to be frustrated. What should I have done? I should have said, you know what? Okay. It didn't do like I wanted to. But isn't that life? Isn't it the way it happens where things don't always work out the way we want them to? And that not only takes place in our own lives, but in our family's life and also in our nation's life. But I don't have to choose to be frustrated. And listen, frustration and the peace of God do not coexist. You're the keeper of your own soul. No, what I should have done is I should have said, it's okay. It's all right. I choose to stay and rest in the Lord. I choose to continue in His peace and not have all this frustration stuff, and I'll just pick the pills up and make the best of it. It's okay. That's what I should have done. And that's what we must do every day in our own lives. This is what Habakkuk is saying. The just shall live not by frustration, not by despair, not by depression, not by laying down and playing dead, not by sticking your head in the ground and acting like there's nothing happening. The just shall live by faith. And if not for yourself, do it for them. While we still have time, asking God for mercy and grace, not only in our own lives and our family's life, but on our nation's life. Let's get engaged in praying, asking God for help and trusting Him on a daily basis, not just for the big stuff, but even the little stuff. Let's pray. So, as you're praying, now you can add a little something to your prayer every morning. I remember, Lord, here's what you can say. I remember Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Today, Lord, I choose to live by faith, not by sight. In spite, just like Habakkuk said, in spite of what might happen, in spite of the fact that the stalls may not be filled with oxen, in spite of the fact that there may not be any fruit that comes out of the ground, it doesn't matter. All that's in your control. All that's in your sovereignty. You're calling the shots. My job is to trust you. Your ways are higher than my ways. Help me. Help me to continue to pray, Lord, for our country, for our church, for my family, and for myself. This is not the time to quit. This is the time to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might.